Does anyone know the happiest place on earth? According to the world, it's Disneyland. That's right. The happiest place on the world is Disneyland. The average place, the average ticket to Disneyland is about $100. By the way, I grew up not too far from Disneyland, 30 minutes away, so I was able to frequent that place often. And Disneyland's about $100 to just to get in. You have parking, you have to pay for, obviously, concessions, you have to pay for food. And really, if you're a parent, it's not the happiest place on earth. If you're a kid, maybe it is, but not for the parents, all right? Well, what I did is I found some of the most beautiful places on earth. And I believe that that heaven is going to be the most beautiful place in the universe. Amen. It's going to, whatever we think of beauty on this earth, it's going to trump it by tenfold at least. So I went through and found the greatest, most beautiful beaches in all the world, the most beautiful deserts, the most beautiful canyons, and I'm going to show you a couple of pictures in a moment. Now, how many of you think you know where the most beautiful beach in the world is? Does anyone know? Does anyone take a guess? It's not Indonesia. Brazil is not the correct answer. Anyone else? Waikiki is not the correct answer. Mexico is not. Everyone's like saying the country where they're from. That's what you guys are doing. Anyone else? No, it's not Hawaii. It's not Dubai. It happens to be in Australia. This is Whitehaven Beach in Australia, voted the most beautiful beach in the world, hands down. Does anyone know what got the most beautiful lake in the world? Most beautiful lake in the world. Does anyone know where it is? It's not Lake Tahoe. It's not Lake Tahoe. Anyone else? Crater Lake. No. Mirror Lake. No, it's not there. It's not South Carolina. I'll give you a clue. It is in North America. It's not the Great Lakes. It's not in the United States of America. It's in Canada. Happens to be Banff. In Banff, Canada. Lake Louise in Banff, Canada. Does anyone know where the most beautiful waterfalls is? Niagara Falls. Well, it's not the correct answer. It happens to be Victoria Falls in Zimbabwe. I've happened to go to Zimbabwe, had a wonderful experience there. Now, this one's an easy one. This one's an easy one. Does anyone know what got voted the most beautiful canyon in the world? My home state, the Grand Canyon. It's the Grand Canyon that got the most beautiful canyon. All right, this is kind of a trick question, but let's see if anyone will get it. Does anyone know what got voted the most beautiful desert in the world? Mojave. It's not the Mojave, not the Sahara. Anyone else? It's a trick question. Think colds. Antarctica. Antarctica. They said Antarctica got the most beautiful, it's the most beautiful desert in the world. By the way, Antarctica gets the least amount of rain per year, less than Sahara, less than Mojave, less than all these other deserts, is actually in Antarctica. Now, you put all of these things together, the most beautiful ocean, the most beautiful mountains, the most beautiful canyons, the most beautiful lakes, it pales in comparison, because my Bible tells me in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it is written, "I hath not seen, ear nor heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." Amen? Amen. So think of the most beautiful place, think of what you love doing most, and heaven is 100-fold. I can't wait for that day. By the way, the song that you heard on Jordan Stormy Banks, that you heard these lovely young ladies and these young men sing, this song was composed by my friend, my buddy Derek. Remember the guy who passed away? Do you remember that sermon that I did? And at the very end had a picture of this guy who was 25 years old. He was the one who arranged that song. So for me, it's very moving. It's very emotional to hear that song. It's my good friend Derek. I can't wait to see him again. Now, let's go ahead and talk about some of the myths in heaven, or debunk some of the myths. What is heaven like? So this is an article I found. Some people think that heaven is St. Peter at the pearly gates. They think it's cherubs playing harps, fluffy white clouds. These are all images people have in heaven, but what is it really like? Myth number one, people believe you're going to be standing at heaven's gates and there's going to be God or St. Peter and he's going to be checking you in, whether you are naughty or nice, right? Myth number two, oh, it's great, except there's no sex, gambling, junk food, TV, sports, or internet. Other than that, it's perfect. A lot of people think that heaven is going to be dull and boring. That's another myth. Myth number three, of course, you're going to sit on a cloud playing kumbaya all day long. I have news for you this evening. Heaven is going to be the most exciting, the most exhilarating experience we've ever experienced. I cannot wait for that day when Jesus gallops on his white horse, when he breaks through that eastern sky, when all of heaven's angels are poured out as fireflies lighting the night sky. I can't wait for that day when all of God's faithful look and see him coming and we can say, this is our God. I can't wait to be able to see the dead pop up like bread from a toaster. I can't wait to see the young, the people who maybe you should have, maybe was a young daughter you should have had or a young son and you were not able to raise them. I can't wait to see mother reunited with daughter. And as we've learned night after night, the dead in Christ rise first, and they go to heaven and they serve for, they are there for 1,000 years, and this is called the millennium. There is the first resurrection, and then we're in heaven for 1,000 years, then the holy city descends. After that, that's when Jesus will wipe every tear from their eyes. That's when we'll be able to witness no more death, no more sadness, no more pain, no more separation, for the former things are passed away. I should have heard an amen to that. You see, beloved, it's interesting because Revelation 21 and 22 depict the picture of the New Jerusalem. And a lot of people think that it is in heaven that there's no more crying, no more pain, no more sorrow. But the thing is, what happens is after the 1,000 years, the holy city comes down and the dead... The second resurrection, in other words, it's also called as the condemned or the wicked, they raise from the dead and they look at this holy city and they come face to face and there's going to be this scene. It's going to be a very sad scene where those who are on the inside, the righteous, are going to look out and maybe you're going to see some of your coworkers. Maybe you're going to see some of your family and friends. And I could imagine there's going to be eye contact made, and I would hate to be on the inside looking at family and friends, mouthing, why didn't you tell me? And that's why you and I are here, is not only to receive heaven, but to tell about heaven. Amen? So we're going to go through a list of facts this evening, a list of facts of what heaven will be like. Fact number one, here we go. We will eat of the tree of life, which bears a different fruit each month. We will eat of the tree of life, which bears fruit every month. Revelation 22, verse 2, it says this. On either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 kinds of fruit and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now, I don't know exactly what that looks like. I don't know what a pure water of life looks like coming into this beautiful tree. I don't know what kind of fruits that they're going to have, but I can use my imagination. Amen? Amen. I want to show you one of my favorite fruits that many of you probably have never had the privilege of trying. It's called mangosteen. Has anyone ever tried this? The world's most expensive fruit. You can only get it in Indonesia, Thailand, the Philippines, Southeast Asia. Very rare fruit. In fact, for 1 kilo, you're going to pay about $20. Very expensive fruit. I love this fruit. And another fruit that I'm hoping is going to be on the tree of life is this fruit right here. It's called dragon fruit. Anyone ever have tried this fruit? This is a very unique looking fruit. You look inside and it almost looks like little cubes. It's beautiful. I love this fruit. Now, the next fruit that I want to share with you is this one. This is called rambutan. Has anyone ever have this one? This one here is a relative to the lychee family. These are some of the most magnificent, most amazing fruits you can ever have. And if you ever have a chance to try them, try them. They're my favorite fruits. You can only get it in a certain area around the world. Now, coming back stateside, my favorite fruit here is strawberries. I love strawberries. Now, you're near Watsonville, so you probably think Watsonville's the best. I'm from Southern California, so Camarillo strawberries is what I'm used to. Now, in heaven, now here's the thing I hate about strawberries. If you get a nice, succulent, sweet strawberry, oh, it's a taste of heaven. But the problem is when you try a strawberry and it's sour, right? Why not get the best of both worlds? So I'm using my sanctified imagination. I believe inside of heaven, when you bite into a strawberry, it's going to be like my favorite fruit snack, Gushers. Anyone ever had Gushers? You bite into strawberries and this burst of flavor comes out, kind of like a gusher. That's how I think it's going to be like. But remember, I have not seen, ear nor heard what God has prepared for us. Amen? All right, now the number one fruit, people's favorite fruit is mango. I'm sure many of you love this fruit right here. This is the best mango. It's called a Manila mango. This is from the Philippines, amen? This is the best mango. It's yellow. I'm not used to seeing green mangoes or red and green mangoes or whatever. In the Philippines, when my mom brought me there as a kid, mangoes are supposed to be yellow, not green, amen? And the thing is, when you cut up a mango, you know how to cut it up. You have to cut it up in threes. What is the thing that no one wants when it comes to a mango? The seed, right? We don't like the seed. So when you cut up a mango, you have the left side, you have the right side, you have the two halves, and then you have the middle. Now in heaven, I believe that the seed is going to be the best part. Any of you ever have mango sticky rice? I believe that the seed is going to be the sticky rice. Again, this is just my imagination. Instant mango sticky rice. Amen? Nice thing about the fruits in heaven, every single one of the fruits are going to be ripe. And guess what, beloved? No pesticides, and they're going to be organic. Amen? We have this idea of we don't want pesticides, I guess, in the Central Valley. I remember, my wife and I, we really love the Central Valley. And I remember when I was in Visalia, they said, everything about the Central Valley is nice except for one thing. I said, what? He said, people here get something called Valley Fever. And I'm like, what's that? And they told me Valley Fever comes, I guess, because of all the pesticides. Is that true? And people get sick. I don't know if it's true or not. That's just what some people were telling us. And I guess the air quality is really bad because of the pesticides. But in heaven, you don't need to worry about the pesticides. You don't need to worry because all the fruit's going to be organic. Amen? All right. Fact number two. Jesus is building a mansion for you. All right. Go in your Bibles with me to John chapter 14. John, the 14th chapter. Going to go into our Bibles and we're going to take a sneak peek at your mansion. John chapter 14. Love what this says. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Chapter 14. Listen carefully to what the Bible says. Verse 1 and 2. Jesus is speaking to his disciples in John chapter 14, verse 1 and 2. When you're there, if you can give me a nice, happy, hearty, heavenly amen.
Amen.
All right, we're alive tonight. John 14, verse 1. It says, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my mansions there are many what? Mansions. Oh, excuse me. In my Father's house. So I was getting really excited. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, I don't know what kind of house you live in today. I don't know if you live in a two-bedroom, a three-bedroom. I don't know if you live in a shack or a studio apartment. But don't worry about what your house looks like here on earth, because in heaven, you get a mansion.
Amen.
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 The only decision you need to make is, do you want beachfront or you want the mountaintops?
Yeah.
Where do you want your mansion to be? Whatever you can think of. If you've always wanted marble floors, don't worry about that. Jesus got you covered. It's going to be golden floors. Amen. God is going to do something amazing. He's going to blow your mind away. Now, I want to show you the most expensive mansion in California that's listed on the market. The most expensive mansion that you can buy with money is this one right here. How many of you have heard of Aaron Spelling? He's the one who produced 90210. This is the director, Aaron Spelling. This is the most expensive estate in the world, right near Hollywood. Now, just to give you some facts about this mansion, located in Los Angeles, California, it's called The Manor. It's a French chateau-style mansion with 123 rooms. This is in L.A., dead smack L.A., 123 rooms. It's 56,000 square feet of space, more than 4.6 acres. It is the largest home in Los Angeles County. It is complete with a tennis court, a movie theater, a bowling alley, ice skating rink. An entire wing was dedicated for his wife's wardrobe, and the parking lot for 100 cars. And my mansion will be better than that one. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Here's another interesting fact. You will build your own garden. Now, this for me was new. You will build your own garden. So for those of you who like agriculture, you get a shot at it in heaven. Listen to this. Isaiah 65, verse 21 through 23. Listen carefully. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. And my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble. Now, here's something interesting. By the way, that's actually an interesting part at the very end, right? Won't bring forth children for trouble. I don't know what that actually means. I'm going to have to ask Jesus about that last one. The interesting thing about this is this. Here's what I understand. I understand that Jesus is preparing a heavenly mansion for you and for me. But this heavenly mansion is more like your weekend house. But during the week, you're going to be inhabiting your own house that you have made with your own hands, and you have your own garden as well. I don't know what kind of garden you're going to have, but in the beginning of the world, Adam made his own garden. He was a gardener. I don't know if you've ever been down to the beautiful area of San Luis Obispo area and seen the beautiful vineyards. And I can imagine that, yes, you will have your mansion, but somewhere there you will also build your own home and you will have your own garden. That for me is going to be wonderful. Now, this is a fun fact. I like this one. You can play with exotic animals. Now, this evening's presentation is entitled When Cats and Dogs Get Along. Two mortal enemies have been cats and dogs. I had a chow growing up, and this chow would kill a cat almost every month. And we would place this cat in the front of our house. Now, if you research cats and dogs even more, you'll find that the king of all cats is the lion, and the king of all dogs is the hyena. And these two are mortal enemies. They absolutely hate each other, but in heaven, these two will be friends, the cats and the dogs. More than that is they will be friends with us. They will no longer be the hunter and the huntee. Now, I have this video for you. Let's see if we can get it to work. This video has captured my imagination of what heaven will possibly be like. By the way, you can watch this on YouTube. If I can have the lights again. This is one of the most fascinating documentaries I've ever seen. You can just type in endangered lions and you can see this video, and GoPro makes it, and it's fascinating how this particular individual has befriended lions. He's known as the Lion Whisperer, and he can call them and they come to him, and he knows them by name. And here's the thing, it's not only lions, we don't have time for this, but he also does that with hyenas. At the end of the video, he has a special way of whistling or talking or communicating to hyenas. And here you have the two big dogs or big cats of the animal kingdom, and yet they love him. He's never been attacked, not once in his life. It says in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 23, "The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. And dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord." What do you want for your animal, for your pet? Do you want a leopard? When I was in Africa, I got up close and personal. This is actually my camera that I took with the lions. And although they look so friendly, so cute and cuddly, When the game park warden came in and threw a piece of meat, they came up and attacked it in seconds. It was pretty incredible. It's going to be fascinating to see the wolf and the lamb play together, or to see even the lion and the lamb play together. And of course, I would love to see this, to be able to do this to a big tiger. That would be wonderful. Fact number four about heaven, you will be able to fly. I've had so many dreams about flying. I'm a frequent flyer on Delta, but when there's turbulence, sometimes I get a little bit scared. My wife likes turbulence. She thinks it's like a roller coaster. And I'm like, you know. In heaven, you will have your own wings. You'll be able to fly. Do you know how awesome it would be to just do a running takeoff and just take off and all of a sudden be able to do some somersaults in air? What is your favorite roller coaster, you know? Be able to do somersaults and corkscrews and all sorts of loops and flips. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. How do you think you're going to get there? You're going to fly. Matthew 22, verse 30, it says, for in the resurrection, they neither marry nor give into marriage, but they are as angels. We are as what, everyone? Angels. Now, what do angels have? Isaiah 6, verse 2, it says, above it stood the angel. Each one had six wings. You already received six wings? Can't wait for that. Fact number five, you will have to work in heaven. Working is an eternal principle, beloved. You're not just going to be, as you saw in those comics, you're not just going to be sitting on a cloud singing Kumbaya and strumming your banjo. Instead, you will be working. Now, this is the type of work that you'll be doing. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 2 says this, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And the world shall be judged by you, and you unworthy to judge the smallest matters. Guess what you and I will be doing in heaven? We will be judging. In other words, there is this great controversy as we have been studying, and God is going to make his decision on who is going to be saved based on them accepting Jesus. But here's something amazing. If we make it to heaven, we could go through the record books and we could say, why isn't this pastor there? Why isn't this preacher there? And we'll be going through the record books. Daniel chapter 7 verse 2 says this, judgment was given to who, everyone? Saints. The saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. So we can see that judgment is given to the saints. Imagine what it's like to go over the record books. And maybe for some of you, you have been praying for a specific family member or praying for a friend, and this particular person didn't make it into heaven. You can go through the record books and find out why they're not there. Fact number six, did you know that you will learn from the best and the brightest? Did you know that there's going to be school in heaven? Now, some of you are pretty scared about that, right? Maybe you don't like school. I know I don't like school. But Matthew 8, verse 11 says this. It's not just any school. And I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. How many of you would like to attend a Bible school, but it being taught by Daniel himself? And you can go through and say, Daniel, what was it like to stand before Nebuchadnezzar and to reveal the dream to him? How many of you would like to ask John the Revelator, can you explain to me, John, what these eight kings are about in Revelation 17? I know that's what I'm going to ask. We all have these questions. We all have maybe Bible questions. Maybe for some of you, you don't want to ask so much a theological question, but maybe you want to ask a funny question. Maybe you want to go to Noah and say, how bad did the ark smell after being trapped there for 1 year? Maybe you want to go to John and say, what was it like to be boiled in hot scalding oil and survive? Maybe you want to go to Moses and say, Moses, tell me what it was like to see the Red Sea part. And did you ever try to do that trick with your hair? Just be honest here. Did you try to do that, Moses? Just be honest with me. Fact number seven, we will still be Sabbath keepers. Did you know that one? In heaven, we will still keep the Sabbath. And that's something that many people don't know. Some people, they're like, are you sure we still have to keep the Sabbath after Jesus died? Isn't the law done away with? Beloved, why does it say then in Isaiah that we still will be Sabbath keepers? Listen carefully. Isaiah 66 verse 23, it says this, "And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord." Finally, after heaven, we have the new Jerusalem. And in the new Jerusalem, we are going to be able to see some other interesting facts. So I want to give you a sneak peek at what does the capital city of the universe look like. Fact number one, the city is made of pure gold, including the streets. Pure gold. Imagine a city that's made out of pure gold. It says in Revelation 21, verse 18 and 21, "The city was pure gold, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass." Imagine being in a city that's sparkling and shiny because the walls and the street is made of pure gold. Fact number two, the walls will be made of jasper. It says, "And the building of the wall, it was made of jasper." Fact number three, there will be 12 pearly gates. Revelation 21 verse 18, it says, "And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, and every gate was of one pearl." Imagine being able to see not only golden streets, golden walls, but to be able to see huge pearls on each of the gates. Fact number four, this one's fascinating. Did you know in the New Jerusalem, there will be no temple, no church, no synagogue? Revelation 21 verse 18, it says, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." Why do we go to church? To worship God. But you don't need a sanctuary anymore because you will be seeing the sanctuary. Amen. You get to see God himself. That's the beautiful thing. And it says in Revelation 21 verse 2, it says, "Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them." Not only will there be no more church, but there will be no sun. Why do you need a sun when you're going to have the Son of Righteousness? Revelation chapter 21 verse 23, it says, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine, for the glory of God enlightened it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." I can't wait to be able to see that day, to be able to see that city. And beloved, this is such a horrific drawing of what that city is going to be like. Now we may look at it and we may say, wow, that looks nice. But really what God has for you and me is more than we can ever dream up. Now I know what some people ask. They ask the question, how can all the world fit into this city? If you do the dimensions, one specific engineer and an architect. They looked at the dimensions and they made together of what the city would look like in comparison to the United States of America. So here's what they made. Look how big that is. That's the actual dimensions. It is to scale of what this city would be. By the way, did you know you can fit all of the world's population in the state of Florida very easily? You see, most of the world, we are scattered. We are in different cities. But if we were to have city after city after city just in the state of Florida, you can fit the entire 7 billion population there. Obviously, there'd be a lot of traffic, but you wouldn't have the swamplands or anything else. But you can have a bunch of big cities just in the state of Florida. And here you can see this structure, this city is going to be massive. 12,000 furlongs equates to 1,500 miles up and down. So this is what they say it's going to be like. Isaiah 65 verse 17, it says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind." Now, beloved, how can we get into heaven? How can we be citizens of this country? That's what I want to know. Revelation 21 verse 7, it says this, "He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. What does that word overcome mean? Nikao in the Greek, to conquer, to have victory. To have victory over all the besetting sins in your life. To win the case, to prevail. This is my favorite one. To maintain one's course. Beloved, I would hate for you and me to start out so well on this 2-week adventure to only flame out. There's a reason why someone may ask you and say, how is your walk with God? What is a walk? It's not how fast you can walk, right? It's how far can you go? And God wants you and me to complete this Christian walk. And at the very end of it, he has a crown for you and me. It's going to be shiny and it's going to be glamorous and it's going to have magnificent gems on it. In fact, one writer says that it's going to have an actual star. And possibly maybe for each person you're able to win to the kingdom, there's going to be a star on this crown. Now, as we close, I do want to share with you probably the most important advice you will hear from me. If there is one verse that I could leave with you, I'm probably going to leave you a couple, but if there's one verse I could leave with you, I'm going to save this one verse, and I want you to remember it. This is at the end of the seminar, and many of us may never see each other again. And so I hope and pray that you make it to heaven. That is honestly would be my greatest hope and desire. What would be some last words that I could give each of you? Go in your Bibles with me to this. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. I have a couple of verses for you as we close. If I can leave you a couple of verses. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. This is found in the New Testament. Philippians 1, verse 6. That is found in page 1129. 1 verse 6. Are we all there? I want you to see this one. It has been such a privilege to be able to see and get to know all of you. But if you come to this seminar and you don't make it to heaven, it would break my heart. It would break all the Bible workers and pastors' hearts, all of the church members, everyone who has prayed so diligently for each of you. Philippians 1 verse 6 is a verse that I held on to. The Bible says, being confident, amen, of this very thing, that he who has began a good work in you will complete it. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? Being confident of this very thing, that God who started a work in you as you have been coming to these seminars, as you have been studying the Bible, he guarantees that he will complete it. Isn't that beautiful? Philippians 1 verse 6, if ever you're at a time in your life where you feel like giving up, go to Philippians 1:6. Get on your knees and say, God, I'm confident that you will finish this work that you started in me. Go to the next scripture. Just have three for you. If there are three things, if I could leave you last words, it would be these three things. The next one is 1 Corinthians 10:13. Beloved, I clung to this verse my first year when I gave my heart to God. And I want to just warn you, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, that's found in 1105, the greatest thing that I can leave with you is God's word, amen? Even though we all want to make it to heaven and it would be so nice to take part of the pleasures, I want to give you practical advice Page 1105. Listen carefully. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Are we all there? All right. This is a lot. One of the last few verses. One awake for everyone. If you're all there, if you can kindly say amen. Let's say it together. All right. The Bible says this. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. I remember when I was just gave my heart to God, and I remember I was still in a fraternity in college, and I remember I was with the wrong people at the wrong time, and they were going to a bar, and I said, oh no, God, I don't want any more of that stuff. And I remember the person who studied the Bible with me, he said, remember 1 Corinthians 10:13. And I said, no, I didn't drive. There's no way that there's going to be an escape route. And I said, but that's in the Bible. And so I remember I prayed and I said, God, I remember somewhere, I even forgot where it was, but I remembered what the verse vaguely said. And I said, God, I think you say somewhere if there's an escape, and if you can give me an escape, I will leave. And for some reason, right when I ended that prayer, the person who I went with, she said, hey, do you want to go home? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, wow, that really worked. I can get used to this. It does. Beloved, put God to the test. He will never fail you. Never. All right. You ready for the last verse? All right. Here we go. Now, if you came to this morning's presentation, you know my favorite verse is Isaiah 33, 22. So you remember that one. But I want to give you the verse that's like my 911 verse. You know what I mean? That 911 verse when you've fallen. Okay, here we go. Go in your Bibles now to Proverbs 24, verse 16. Here we go. If there is one verse that you can remember from this presentation, it would be this one right here. Proverbs 24. Now, before we read it, I want to just give you a little bit of some context of this verse. Proverbs 24, verse 16, page 628. 628 in your seminar Bibles. Philippians 1, 6, being confident of this very thing, that he that started a good work will perform it. 1 Corinthians 10:13, that God won't tempt you above that you are able and will provide a way to escape. And then finally, Proverbs 24, verse 16 says this. Now you have to understand, who was Proverbs written by? Solomon. He was the wisest, the richest, but also Solomon fell. He was favored by God, but he fell. And listen to me carefully right now. By you making the decision to follow God, you are wearing a bullseye. Did you hear me? The devil has a bullseye on you. He's not happy that you have made this decision to follow God. And so he's going to do everything he can to shake you up and to shake you out. My first year when I followed God, oh, I tell you, it was so difficult. There were many times when I was praying and saying, God, please get me through this trial. I remember times that I fell into sins I never thought I would fall into. But Proverbs 24, verse 16 was a verse that helped carry me through some of the darkest times of my life. And I want to share this verse with you this evening. Listen carefully to what it says. For a righteous man, notice it doesn't say an unrighteous man. Amen? It says, for a righteous man does what? How many times? Now, in the Bible, seven means perfection or completion. In other words, this man falls the perfect amount of times, maybe seven times, maybe 70 times. But here's the thing. In order him to fall again, what did it mean? What does it mean? It means that he had to have what, everyone? Gotten back up. Read the rest of it. Proverbs 24, verse 16, it says, but the wicked shall what? What is the difference with the righteous and the wicked? They both fall. But one keeps getting back up. And if there's something that I can leave with you tonight, it would be get back up. Keep your eyes heavenward. Understand that the devil is going to do all that he can. Don't let that scare you, because if God is for you, who can be against you? It is better to be in the fiery furnace with Jesus Christ than to be outside. God is going to do his refining work in your life. When you fall, beloved, don't listen to the temptations of Satan saying that you are worthless, you are no good, why are you trying? Instead, pick yourself back up. Amen. You have someone in heaven. We went through this morning. He is the judge. He is the lawgiver. He is the king. What is his job? He will save us. Now, here's the thing. God can only save you if you get back up. That's it. Will you promise me to get back up? Amen. God is going to preserve you. God is going to save you. But internally, you have to be the one to make that decision. Amen. The last point I want to make about heaven is this. It's not so much about the place as it is about the people. Every year in the beginning of the year, I start out my year by going to Hawaii. Terrible, right? Beginning of January, I have to go there. I have to go, so we set up Bible work teams and everything else. My wife, on the other hand, she goes and starts off the year by going to a far different place that you're familiar with called Bakersfield. Now, which would you rather have, Bakersfield or Hawaii? Now, here's the thing. Whenever I get off the plane and I smell the beautiful breeze of the Pacific sky, when I see the crystal clear waters, I realize I don't want to be there. My wife's not with me. It doesn't matter if I'm in Hawaii. I'd rather give up the beautiful turquoise skies, the perfect white sandy beaches, and trade it for the cow-smelling air of Bakersfield. So long as my wife is with me. Amen. Beloved, it's not about the place as it is about the people. And beloved, I don't know about you, but I will be looking for each one of you. I will be looking for all of you, each of you there. We started this seminar. We started coming night by night, right? All of us, we've been learning new truths. Amen? Some of us, as we've gone, as we've learned day by day, we've been astonished about some of the things that the Bible has had to say. We've made also lifelong friendships and bonds. Amen? Some of us, for the first time, have heard these truths we've never heard before. Some of us, of course, we have made lifelong decisions. Right, Carlene? And many of you here made decisions for eternity. This right here is the most important decision you can make. Although my wife and I made a vow to be together, our vow is only until death. But baptism and a life for Christ is for all eternity. Those of you who made those decisions, can you stand up again? Who made those decisions? Stand up again. And hold applause, please. Hold applause. We're gonna, please hold applause. This is a sober, somber moment. Anyone who made those decisions, Now, some of you made the decisions on the decision card and weren't able to make it. Who would like to join them? Anyone else would like to join them? Praise the Lord, Derek. God bless you. Praise the Lord, Miguel. Look, I want to talk specifically to each of you who made these decisions. Don't let anyone take your crown. The Bible says that. Are you going to stay firm? Nicole? Yeah? Mary, you going to stay firm? Nelia? Gail? Derek? Mariah? Tara? Mike? You guys going to stay firm? Please. Stay firm. Don't look back. Keep going forward. When I come back, and I promise you I'm coming back. Amen, Pastor Neil? Is that all right? I want to see you here. Don't go anywhere. Father in heaven, we again want to thank you so much. We want to thank you for the decisions that have been made the last few days. I thank you because heaven is throwing a party. There's some new citizens in heaven. And we thank you so much that you're going to do great things for each person here. For those who are sitting, for those who have made that decision already, I pray that you will keep them faithful and keep them accountable. I pray that they will be loving and kind to these new precious souls. And Lord, those who did not make a decision, I pray that they will. Please, God, come soon. Take us home. We love you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Before we go, there's a few more things we have to do. There's a couple of things we need to do. And Derek, if you can come up. We're looking for you. Turns out Derek and Breezy, they brought so many guests. They were so close. You almost won that iPad, man. Come on up. So what we decided to do is, you were so close, we are giving you a very special Bible. It's a very, very expensive Bible. This has a lot of prophecies. It has all the studies as well. We want to give this to you. It's a gift from the Series Church. It's a gift from Pastor Neil's pocketbook, actually his church. And it's a gift here for also this Revelation DVD. So we want to give this to you. Promise me you're going to watch and read this. God has a plan for you, Derek. All right? God bless you. God bless you. Again, on behalf of Souls West, on behalf of my wife and I, we just want to take the opportunity to thank each one of you for making this very special, very memorable. Please, those of you, don't run away yet after this. We do love to take some pictures with some of you. We love to pray with some of you, exchange contact information. It really means a lot. And so I'm just asking that you'll keep us in prayer. Amen? The devil is attacking us as well. The devil's attacking those who are in ministry. So we ask that you keep us in prayer. And if we don't see you again on this side of the Jordan, promise me that we'll see you up there beyond yonder. Amen. God bless you all. Have a good night.
Amen. How many people are blessed by this series? Raise your hand. Amen. Thank you so much to the Tuazons. Definitely, you guys are invited back. Amen? Amen? Amen. My name is Pastor Nel Kanda. I'm the senior pastor here. That's Pastor Ted Bays. He's the administrative pastor. Do you mind standing as well? And we are here to be a blessing to you. We are here to serve you. And it's our job to make sure we can do everything in our power to see that you get to the kingdom. Amen? So especially for those who stood up for baptism, Lisa wants to meet with you real quickly. She's going to go around, and we're going to schedule and get you ready for your baptism, because that's going to be a joyful day to look forward to. Amen? Amen. Don't forget, every Sabbath, we meet together for worship. You are always invited. God has revealed this great truth to you because he wants you to be part of this body of believers. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Be safe as you're driving home. We'll see you later. Amen.